Acts 15. We've been studying the book of Acts, and today we should finish Acts 15 and get a little ways into verse 16, or chapter 16, I'm sorry. What I would like to speak with you about this morning is this idea that the cause of Christ outranks my own. The cause of Christ outranks my own. Whatever my cause might be or might have been, it always has to fall underneath what Christ wants to do, Christ's cause. I was reminded this week about Jack Lucas. Jack Lucas, he lied about his age and left his family and his girlfriend to join the fight for freedom in World War II. He was 14 years old when he joined, but he was a big husky kid, and they let him in. He had to sneak onto a ship that was sailing west, and he landed on Iwo Jima. In a trench in Iwo Jima, fighting the enemy, Jack Lucas fell on two grenades to save his fellow Marines. "Luke, you're going to die," he remembered thinking. But he didn't die. Only one of the grenades went off, still enough to, of course, kill a man. But they got him on board a hospital ship, and the doctors could not believe it, that he was still alive. Jack Lucas endured 21 reconstructive operations and became the nation's youngest Medal of Honor winner. By that time, he was already the ripe age of 17. The cause of freedom to Jack Lucas outranked his own. And in our passage today, I think we'll see missionaries who endured separation and suffering for the cause of Christ. And hopefully when we're done looking at this passage this morning, that you'll agree, the cause of Christ outranks my own. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us as we've sung about this morning, as we've remembered through communion, the love of Jesus to die for sinners, then to rise again, to save all who will believe on your name. We thank you and we praise you. Help us this morning as we look at these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing you'll see about the cause of Christ, there's two elements that we'll look at this morning, two things. The cause of Christ may mean, number one, separation. It may mean separation. We'll see that with Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, who had worked together, ministered together, when Paul was a new Christian, Barnabas came alongside of him. Other Christians were hesitant about Paul because he had been Saul and a terrorist against the church. But Barnabas said, no, he's trusted Christ. His life is different. And he's teaching the gospel now. Let's listen to him. Let's give him a chance. And Barnabas went with Paul in that first dangerous missionary journey. So look at verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers, the Christian family." Hear that term? They're brothers and sisters. "Let us go back to those cities where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Because Paul and Barnabas, they were not just interested in a number of souls being saved. I mean, how many can we get saved? What's our number? What's our number goal? They weren't concerned about that. They wanted to see people follow Jesus. They wanted to see people discipled to grow in the Lord. It's what Pastor Ted's praying for, that new Christians will grow in following Christ in their life, their daily life. And so they make this plan to go back to the cities that they had ministered to build up the church. Verse 37, "Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work." And here again we see gospel ministry is called work. And Paul says, you know, the last time we went, we got out there a ways, and this young guy, John Mark, bailed on us. He went back home, and that just didn't set well with Paul. For whatever reason, and the Bible doesn't tell us, but Mark left them, and Paul said, "We're going on this trip of missions in dangerous places. It's going to be hard. And we can't have somebody that's gonna flame out again. So we can't take him. So Barnabas says, no, let's give him another chance. That's Barnabas. And we have this tension, and it, maybe you're one of these two ways. Paul says the ministry is so important. God has called us to take this gospel out to the world. It's hard, but we're going to do it because he loves us and he's called us to go. So this mission's important. We've got to reach as many people as we can. And I agree with that. But Barnabas is over here. Barnabas says, people are so important. Let's disciple John Mark. He messed up, but let's see if he won't grow and work better with us. He might slow us down a little bit. He might not be as great as someone who's more seasoned, but let's give him a chance. Let's work together with him. And I understand that. That makes good sense too. So which is right? Should we be about the ministry and serving God, or should we be patient with people? And the answer is yes. It's both. And so what God does in his wisdom is he allows these two missionaries to separate. And as we read on here, let's see, verse 39. There arose a sharp disagreement. Phil Eyal calls that intense fellowship. Have you ever had intense fellowship with another believer, maybe someone in your household? But they separated, they split from each other, and that's sad to us. But God doubled the mission force. Instead of one team going, there's two teams going, and there was growth. There was growth for the leaders. Paul and Barnabas, very good friends, but they couldn't depend on each other as they went separate ways. Paul is going to take Silas. That's going to be growth for Silas to step up. He'd already been serving in missions work, but he's going to do more with Paul. We know Silas is going to be in the Philippian jail when the earthquake happens and the Philippian jailer gets saved. Silas is there. He's part of that ministry. He's growing. There's also growth for John Mark. That had to hurt his feelings when Paul and Barnabas have their big scuffle, and I want to take him. I'm not going with him. He's not going with us. Do you think John Mark heard those discussions? Do you think that hurt his feelings? It would have hurt mine. I've been told no before in ministry. I'm told no, you're not ready. This isn't for you. John Mark standing there like, well, you know, I just want to try again. I'm sorry, guys. But there's growth for him because John Mark goes with Barnabas. Later, Paul would refer to Mark as his fellow worker and one who is very useful in the ministry. And John Mark is also mentioned in 1 Peter, and he's believed to be the human author of the Gospel of Mark. So God did a great work in him, even through this separation. And fourthly, it opened the door for Timothy to join with Paul. Timothy, another young man, and we'll see about him here in the next chapter. What's the application? Don't give up on people. Don't give up on people. God gives the growth. I think if I'm honest, I'm more like Paul in this, that if you let me down one time, I'm going to hold that against you a long time. I probably won't tell you about it because I'm a chicken. But I'm, you know, you cross a line with me, it's hard to come back. I think that's the way Paul was. It'll take me a long time to trust you again. Whereas Barnabas wants to stay right in there. He wants to give you another chance. He wants to be patient. That's like my mentor, Pastor Dave. He's so patient with people. And he's seen people go away, leave the church, walk away, and then come back to the Lord and walk in service and growth. And I think, wow, I gave up on that person. You never did. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus, where the first missionary trip started. And Paul and Silas will go. Here's our map, just so you know what we're talking about. Here's where they start, in Antioch. On the first trip, they go to Cyprus and then along up in here, right? Well, they go up this way. Okay. On the second trip, Barnabas and John Mark, they go to Cyprus and start going that way. Paul is going to go this way. I understand you have to cross some mountains right here, or right in here somewhere. There's some mountains they had to go through, okay? But they're going to go back to these cities where Paul was stoned almost to death, and they're going to keep on going. They're going to go to Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, Ephesus. This is the second missionary journey. It's huge. I mean, we've got these books in the Bible because Paul went with Silas and Timothy on this trip. But this is the map. This is where they're going back. They're going to start where they left off. They're going to go back to the churches and minister to them. Verse 40. But Paul chose Silas. He's a leader in the Jerusalem church. He's also a prophet of God. He'd already served as a short-term missionary. He's traveled from home. He's been encouraging, strengthening believers through his teaching. And Silas goes with Paul. They departed, having been commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord. The grace of the Lord. They're taking the gospel to foreign lands, to dangerous places. They will need the grace of the Lord. They're being committed to God's protection and strength. The missionary tells us about the grace of God. Missionaries, they come, they tell us about God's grace. They tell about his saving work through Jesus and forgiveness of sins. But missionaries themselves live by the grace of God. They tell about it, but they also have their own experience in it. And that's why Paul the Apostle would say of all of this ministry, we talk about these churches that he planted and people that he wrote to and cared about. He says, all that I did was not me. It was the grace of God in me. God's grace strengthening him. And so verse 41, they went through Syria and Cilicia through the mountains, strengthening the churches as they went. But they did that after the separation. The cause of Christ was greater than Paul's. It was greater. They had to separate to do what God wanted them to do. The cause of Christ outranks our own. And here, it meant suffering. Second, suffering. Separation first, and suffering second. So we get into this chapter 16. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. That's where they stoned him with rocks and they left him for dead. Paul says there's believers there. So they can throw stones at me if they want, but I'm going to help this church. I want to strengthen them and see them grow in their faith. And so they go to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a disciple was there named Timothy. We know that Timothy was a younger man. Paul was his spiritual father. He was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, and I think it's 2 Timothy where it talks about his mom and his grandmom were both Christians. They'd grown up in the Jewish faith, but they believed in Jesus as the Messiah. And so Timothy also heard the word, heard the gospel, and believed. He was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So he grew up with two cultures in his home, right? He grew up with one that would have gone to the synagogue and heard the scriptures taught, but then his dad wasn't into that. His dad was a Greek. His dad would have believed in the gods of Zeus and those gods of the Olympiad, Mount Olympus. And so he grew up in that home, but he became a Christian. Keep reading here. He was well spoken of in verse 2 by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Iconium is 18 miles away. But his ministry and his faith, people knew about. He made a difference in people's lives. He was a servant of the Lord even when he was young, caring about people in his church and in a church even 18 miles away. He had a good testimony. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. I think as an assistant, because remember, John Mark is not with them anymore. He was a young guy. In my mind, he helps carry the luggage. And he's learning to teach. He's learning, but he's there to help them, you know, hitch up the wagons and that kind of thing. And Paul says, come with us. Timothy, we need you're a strong guy, young guy. We need you. Come with us. But the problem was he was not yet circumcised, as we see this in verse 3. He took him and circumcised him, because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And the Greeks did not have the same practice as they did with the Jewish boys when they were born. And so the Jews in those places might have looked at Timothy as an apostate Jew, as someone who wasn't really fully Jewish. And who are they ministering to first? They're coming to the synagogues. They're going to where the Jewish people are. So what's complicated about this is if we go back into chapter 15, they had this whole council where the Holy Spirit led the apostles and the elders to say circumcision is not required for salvation. The Greek people didn't practice that, and they don't need to become a Christian. So why would Paul say, Timothy, if you're going to come with us, you need to have this surgery? Well, we'll talk about that, but let's notice here in verse 3, it was because of the Jews who were in those places. It was because of the Jews who were in those places. Verse 4, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem, which was basically, new Christians, be sensitive to the Jewish Christians, be sensitive to their background, avoid idol meat and immorality for sure. We want you to have unity and holiness in your church. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily through this sacrificial ministry of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. So what about Timothy and having this operation that Paul required? Well, the background of Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium is important. Those cities that they were going to minister in, who was there? The Jewish people who were there, they were very zealous about being Jewish. In fact, they're the ones that were so offended by Paul and his ministry that they chased him from town to town and stoned him. So Timothy had a Jewish mother. He was raised as a Jew, except for the circumcision. It wasn't that Timothy wasn't Christian enough, because you're a Christian by your faith in Christ. But Timothy was going with Paul to minister to the Jewish people. And so though he had grown up with a Jewish mother, he wasn't Jewish enough. He was Christian enough by his faith in Christ. He wasn't Jewish enough. And Paul said, if we're going to minister to these people, we don't want to have anything that would keep them from hearing our testimony, anything that would hear us from giving the message. They won't even let us into the synagogue if they think you're a Greek. And so this is my understanding. The commentary suggests Timothy would be restricted or resisted from ministering to the Jews in the synagogues. Paul wants to remove any obstacle that might hinder the gospel. And that's the passage that Pastor Matt read to us at the beginning of the service, where Paul says, to the Jews, I live as a Jew. So why? So I can win the Jews. I do everything like that. I'll be like the Gentiles to reach the Gentiles. Not in sin, but in just the regular cultural things. I'll do what they do in their culture to win them. With the Jews, I'll live as the Jews. Because I care more about them than my rights and my freedoms. I want to see them saved. So listen, Timothy had the freedom in Christ to not have the operation, but out of love and concern for reaching the lost Jews, he submitted to the requirement. He endured some temporary suffering for the eternal cause of Christ. That's why I say the cause of Christ may mean separation, and it may mean suffering. Do you know who this is? Have you ever heard of Hudson Taylor? He was a missionary to China, 1854 to 1905. 51 years he was a missionary to China. He was the first one to go into the interior of China. And what he did was he dyed his hair black, he grew it out, and put it in a braid. And the other missionaries said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to reach the Chinese people. This is not a sinful thing. It's a cultural thing for them. And so I want to reach the Chinese. I don't want to come in as the foreigner. I want to come in and be part of their culture and reach them. And this is what Hudson Taylor wrote. We wish to see, get this, we wish to see Chinese Christians, raised up men and women, truly Christian, but totally Chinese. Let us in everything not sinful become Chinese, that we may by all means save some. That's the right philosophy. And by the way, we have a biography of Hudson Taylor in the Doris Woolard Memorial Library. You can check it out if you would like to read more about Hudson Taylor. Paul said, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them." He said, "I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings." So quickly, as we finish here at 12, the cause of Christ outranks my own. What personal sacrifices are we willing to make to reach the world around us? Would you help an unsaved friend in a time of need? Would you use vacation time to go on a missions trip? Would you get a vaccine to take the gospel to a foreign country? Just a few little things of suffering that we might have to do to take the gospel to someone else. The cause of Christ outranks my own. Would you stand together with me? We'll pray. Father, we've seen just briefly in this passage that you may use separation to bring more people into gospel ministry. Silas gets to go. He participates in fantastic missionary work. John Mark gets to go. Timothy gets to go. Father, we thank you for how sometimes you separate in order to multiply. We know it may mean suffering, that separation between Paul and Barnabas may have been difficult and even hurtful maybe to John Mark, but you allowed it and you accomplished your will through it. We thank you that even though Timothy suffered physically for a time, he had better opportunities